turn that music down. We got too much show. We got to get busy here. How you doing out there in listener land? Chris Z here with always, as always, my co-host, Sal Rodriguez. How the hell are you doing, Sal?
I'm completely unprepared for today's show.
We are. I don't know how we felt, but the weather's terrible. Internet service is shoddy at best, cutting in and out.
There's a killer cop.
There's a killer cop roaming the streets. Sal looks stoned. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying he looks. What else?
And Chris is wearing a nice plaid shirt. Is that from the Brady Bunch, Chris?
No, this is Ben Sherman. It's like a, you know, very, hey, I live in Orange County and I did well with my internet startup and I adopted a little black baby. You know what I mean? That's what I'm wearing right now. But it's anytime you see me like this, you can probably safely assume I'm going to an audition.
You had an audition earlier or you're going to one next?
No, I'm actually going to my first professional writing gig.
What?
Yeah, I got a roundtable meeting there.
Chris's career is just blossoming.
I never thought I'd say this, Al, but it pays less than catering. I should go back to catering.
Chris is going to be working on a primetime movie of the week and be paid $13.50 an hour.
Yeah, it was a crazy morning, Sal. Our guest here, our lovely guest, surprised me by riding her bike. How eco-friendly is that?
It's very eco-friendly. And you know what? Her pictures do not do her justice. She is so much more beautiful in person. She really is.
She has big, bright, expressive eyes, like lighthouses, you know.
Speaking of her lighthouses, oh my gosh. I don't know if she's wearing a push-up bra or what. I don't know if she's wearing the Will Wonder bra or whatever it is, but they are prominent.
Wow, Sal, right out of the gate, the sexual harassment.
That's not harassment.
Sal has clearly worked for himself for the last 20 years because you can tell just by listening to him, he's never attended a sexual harassment training course.
I've been kicked out of every on-the-job course, sexual harassment, CPR training. I started making out with the dummy. It was ridiculous.
And how funny is it, Sal, that that we have a clip later on today, a segment we've only done a handful of times before called Inhuman Resources. And it just so happens that my story concerns sexual harassment.
Concerns or is created by you?
It concerns sexual harassment that was allegedly propagated by me towards a coworker. But you'll see why it was a patently ludicrous accusation. We haven't done our exercises, Sal. You can tell the words aren't rolling off our tongues.
No, like you know what, though? I want to share my excitement for you is that you've recently moved.
I have. I'm in Pasadena now.
Yeah, you've gone from one depressed roommate to another depressed roommate.
I have, and he's I can only hold him at bay for so long, Sal. You know, I mean, he sits next to me on the couch, and we're talking about Sons of Anarchy one second, and anything is the gateway that he's looking for to launch into, you know, telling me some story about his ex-girlfriend. Oh, there's a brunette, you know, Charlie Hunnam, you know, who plays Jax on the show, is like the lead character on the show. His girlfriend's a brunette. Boom, that's all the leading he needs.
So you're not just a roommate, really. You're sort of in a relationship.
Well, I'm becoming a confidant of his, and I'm doing everything I can to stymie that process. I like him, but I just, you know, I'm not there yet. Maybe 6 months from now, he and I can have a heart-to-heart about it, but I'm not ready for that right now. I got problems of my own to work on.
Does he listen to the show?
No, it's funny. I was thinking that. I seize any opportunity to plug the show, but he's be the one person that I won't tell to listen to the show because I suspect this won't be the first and only time we talk about this.
Chris, I think maybe we should tell our listeners who we are and what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the rules.
That's funny. Sal looks stoned. I'm not stoned, but I've been performing as if I were stoned. Guys, here we are. Let's take it from the top. Sal Rodriguez, Chris Z, Registered Ear Fenders. We do this every week at SkidRowStudios.com, and we do it on Extreme Talk XM 165 as well. And that's what we're doing today. We got a big show ahead of us. We've got... Really big shoe. Big show. We got confessions. Oh. A fan favorite.
Oh, I have one I do not want to share. I do not want to share this confession. It's so shameful and embarrassing.
Well, yeah, well, mine's not that good. I'd rather be trumped by yours than be the memorable confession, which has happened to me at times.
You've had some memorable confessions.
The time I talked about ED, for example. Nobody even was listening to what you were saying because they were so busy ridiculing me.
I like how you brought that up today when we have a beautiful young lady here.
Well, I'm hoping she goes for the sensitive, vulnerable type.
Well, she got the second part right anyway.
Or the broken, yeah. We got Why Not, which is a fun little segment Sal and I do where sometimes we're thinking out loud and we ask people, well, why not? Why aren't stop signs bigger? Why are they always the same size? You know what I mean?
You don't say anything about stop signs. Well, that would be too simplistic.
It's just an example off the top of my... We're not Seinfeld here. What's the deal with stop signs?
What is the deal with manhole covers?
We got Chris's Corner. We got Sal's Weekly Rant, of course. And then we got our guest, very special guest, comedian, TV personality, possibly radio disc jockey. Possibly. We'll discuss that.
She's like us, only young, beautiful female and making money.
Yes. Right. Correct. Making a living doing entertainment. Well, thanks for slowing me down.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
I was in a good mood. I was performing poorly, but performing poorly while in a good mood. You know what? Let's quit hamming it up and dilly-dallying here and launch into the show, I guess. What do you say, Sal? Some confessions? Do we have music for confessions?
Yeah, we have music. We have music for
confessions.
That's right.
Oh, this is one of my favorite lead-in music things. Go ahead and hit it, Nick.
That lasts for 2 hours.
Is that it?
That's 2 hours of just that.
You know, that's not quite as memorable as I remembered it being. I think I was thinking about the, remember when we did The Trouble with Porn? And yeah. You did that really elaborate, multifaceted, multi-layered kind of...
What about the POV?
No. It's the girl and she's moaning and there's music in the back and yeah. It's like kind of old, like sultry, old-timey music. That's what I thought he was about to play. Not just you breathing into a microphone over
that,
and over.
That's
again.
What we've played that before. You didn't complain then.
You have to be stoned because it looks so funny to you. I'm telling you from a sober point of view that was terrible. I'll lead it with my confession sound.
Wait, hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Nicholas Chacone, he is back.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, Nick, where you been? I feel like this is like Sons of Anarchy. You know, you're in jail 1 week, you're missing the next. Where you been, buddy?
I moved. I moved to Glendale, so I'm a little bit farther out, but really not... Nothing big at all. And, Jeremy is out of town, so I'm covering for him.
What kind of out of town? Like a rehab, psychiatric retreat?
Nah, I think he's in San Jose on business right now.
You know what, Nick? You live near Chris now. You live in Glendale. He lives in Pasadena. Go hang out with them. Sit on their couch. Hang out. Talk about your ex-girlfriends.
I know. I'm waiting to get a couch right now. That's what we're like.
No. I'm telling you, Nick, we got brand new couches. They were delivered the morning I moved in.
Wow.
The only thing pimp. I ask of you
That's
is
too pimp.
You can't smoke inside the house, and you got to be a good listener, because I'm going to leave you with my roommate while I go out and I can live my life.
All right, man. That sounds right.
All right. Thank you, Nicholas Chacone. Chris, go ahead with confessions.
All right, here goes, Sal. A couple years ago. Why is it so quiet? Am I wrong, Sal? I feel like today's show is very quiet. Like,
quiet? It's quiet and you're sweating.
I am. I'm sweating like a meth head. I don't know what's wrong with me. And it's funny. It's freezing outside, but it's so warm in the studio today.
Well, you got the long sleeve Brady Bunch shirt on.
And I haven't even had my coffee, for Christ's sake. So here's the deal. So a couple years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I worked at a nightclub called Taboo. It was one of these, you know, short-lived, like hottest club in town kind of thing in Orlando. And I worked there on some... menial administrative capacity. And I worked at a desk and I worked in kind of the main office. And I do remember that one day I just opened some drawer that was near me and I found just rolls and rolls of change, you know, like tightly bound in plastic. And I started helping myself. I wasn't making much money. The money was clearly kind of unaccounted for. It was just kind of the thing where like, oh, hey, the bar needs quarters, you know? So I did that for a while. I padded my account with some of that money, you know?
How much are we talking here?
Oh, probably not a lot. I mean, 100, 200 bucks over the course of a couple months, tops. But I'm going somewhere with this, I promise, Sal. And then later on, some lady left her purse inside, her little purse inside the club. And they turned it in and they started looking through it to find her ID so they could, you know, call her or return it to her or something. And they found a little bag of Coke.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so, I've never done Coke, and I think that was even the first time I've seen it. So I take the little bag at my boss's behest, and he goes, hey, you know, Chris, go dump this in the toilet.
What?
Yeah. You know, he just wanted to get rid. Obviously, he didn't want cocaine in his club. Makes
he
sense.
Gives you cocaine to dump in the toilet?
Yes. Right.
That way when the cops come, it's like, it's his Coke.
Yeah, no, right. So I like an idiot, didn't dump the cocaine. I mean, I did later, but at the moment, I go, certainly this must have value to someone.
Wow.
So, you know, I took the cocaine.
Entrepreneurial.
Fast forward somewhere, a couple weeks ahead, I'm talking to my boss about something. I don't remember what it was. I think, you know, he wanted me to carry a cash register, do something that involved, me kind of being responsible for some cash. And I told him, I said, hey, do you want to count this first? Or, you know, should I sign something? And he said, no, Chris. He said, you're not the type to steal. And he said it to me, and I felt terrible about that for a very long time, Sal.
And that's when part of your spirit died.
Yeah, because he looked at me, and in judging, you know, something about me led him to believe that I was a, you know, an honest, upstanding individual.
Yeah, what a fool he was.
Preemptively let him down. And my amends, Sal, to that guy. I don't even remember his name, but I am truly sorry for that, because that's the kind of person I want to be. I'd rather, even though I've been that person for the most part, the majority of my life, and it's done nothing but cause me harm and prevent me from succeeding and gotten me nowhere with women. It's still the kind of person I want to be at the end of the day. Because,
wow. That's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I mean, when someone walks by my grave, it'll be, you know, the difference between them nodding at it or spitting on it. So that's my confessions. That's my amends.
Wow. Chris, I'm proud of you. You know what? I'm proud of you. I think it was the sweat. Really, it made you more human. It brought out your humanity. That's what I'm saying. I'm proud of you. What am I saying?
It's your turn.
Oh, this is no fun.
So, what is this happy hour? This 10 a.m. happy hour? You must have stopped at on the way here.
It's not a happy hour. I'm just discombobulated.
I've seen Sal Stone before, but this is preposterous.
I don't know what you're talking about. Nick, do you know what he's talking about?
I have no idea.
He's the one getting dressed and undressed, sweating up a storm, and yet I'm the one that's high.
Everyone's just acting weird today. It's the weather. I don't know what it is.
It's a weird day.
Something.
I think our testosterone is maybe colliding with one another, all in competition for Marianne's affections.
Can you do your goddamn confessions?
Okay, yeah, this is a tough one for me.
And you know what? I was in the elevator with Marianne, and I asked her not to use the P word. I explained to her that we put way too much work into the show to call it a podcast. But today, I have proven myself wrong, because we are off to such a slow, cumbersome start. Go ahead, do your goddamn confession.
All right, so you know, Chris, how much I love animals, how much I love cats.
I know how much you love your cats.
Okay. I love cats and I love my cats. Okay. I'm selfish. I don't run a shelter. I have two cats. So meanwhile, I've gotten into this habit of looking at Facebook while I drive, texting while I drive, texting on Facebook while I'm driving. And one night I pulled down a street. I was looking at Facebook on my phone and I ran over a cat.
Oh, man, I haven't even done that.
I'm so sorry. Really, who can I make amends to? Maybe I should make a small donation to an animal shelter.
Do you know, did you keep going? Do you know if he perished?
I hit him and then he ran off. But I believe he was injured.
Yeah, it's usually the adrenaline keeps them going. And unfortunately for the driver, they're led to believe that, oh, he's fine. But no, usually they run off and 10 feet later they collapse and die.
And you know what? That's when a part of my soul died. And it shall never be recovered.
What if he's Mr.'s brother?
Oh, come on.
And suddenly at home, Mr. just kind of looked up like he just felt like something was wrong, but he didn't know what.
No. He started going into convulsions.
Well, you said he's been acting lethargic lately. How long ago was this incident?
No. He was only acting lethargic because I took him to go get shots.
Well, that's what you tell me.
No,
but you're not
on.
A veterinarian, are
no,
you?
No.
You're not a cat psychologist, are you?
I'm a cat whisperer. I am. I whisper to them.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. If it makes you feel any better, I ran over a raccoon.
Is this true? You're just trying to make me feel better.
It is true, though. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't for lack of responsibility, like it was in your case. I was delivering pizzas at the time, and this thing ran out in the road. I mean, just right in front of the car, and he was huge, and I could hear him kind of bouncing around under the undercarriage of my car.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
and raccoons are cute too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're huge, man. Like they look so cute until you see them in real life, and remember that they're feral, you know. So I go to approach him. I assume he's dead, and I go, I shouldn't just leave this monster in the road. He could scare somebody, could cause another accident.
Monster.
I walk up, and right as I get near him, like he comes back to life, and he, like his eyes, you know, wide open, and he like, and I go,
no.
I ran back to my car and took off.
So it was like a sort of a Walking Dead raccoon version.
Yeah. I'm glad he opened his eyes when he did, because 1 second later, he might have, you know, a bit into my head or something like that. Well, remember, I grew up in Florida where this kind of shit happens on a daily basis.
Oh, and Kren, what, alligators? Is it alligators or crocodiles? Yeah,
did I tell you about the time I found a dead alligator?
Wait, hang on a man. Do we have time for this?
Probably not. But
you're yelling at me saying I'm high.
I wish we had the cameras up and running. Sal has this format that he's just married to, and it kills me sometimes because we're on a roll here, and Sal wants to pull the air brakes on it like the Bugs Bunny and fucking the Warner Brothers. But we've got stuff to do, so let's get into Why Not. You're listening to Registered Ear Offenders on SkidRowStudios.com and Extreme Talk XM 165. Thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead and give us a call if you're up to it, guys. 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. And this next session... red leather, yellow leather, red leather. She sells seashells.
And I'm the one high.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I got marbles in my mouth today. This next segment is one we call Why Not. We've done it once or twice before. It's a lot of fun. Here goes mine, Sal. We got all kinds of apps on the telephone, right? The iPhone has, I mean, just about anything. You ever heard of this app? It looks like fire. It's like a little fireplace. Like literally, you just put it on your phone and it just looks like fire burning on some
How romantic.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, if you're like in a public park and you're 16 and you're trying to romance your girlfriend, you know, to let her get to third base. Why don't they have a mirror on the phone? How hard could it be to have an application that you press a button and the screen fills with, I don't know, some kind of like liquid, not unlike the one that made the Terminator 2, and you look at it and you use that as a mirror?
A liquid? What do you mean it makes a liquid?
I'm not a scientist here. I'm just saying for, you know, the way the app might work is that maybe you have some like liquid metal inside the phone. And it, you know, sort of like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know how stuff rolls around inside of it? And maybe when you press this button, this liquid or whatever it is, silicone, kind of expands to encompass the entire screen, and it serves as a mirror.
Wow.
I mean, if you say
you're not a scientist.
If they can make Pandora, right, which is where the phone actually listens to music and identifies songs out of the millions of you know, recordings that must be in existence, certainly they can make a rudimentary mirror, at least.
Well, you know what some people do? They take pictures of themselves.
Oh.
The self. You know what? I don't think you've ever taken... I've never seen a picture of you taken by you.
Do you know that I hate pictures? I really... I mean,
You hate pictures or you hate having your picture taken?
I hate having my picture taken. I can't... because of my nature... Every time I look at pictures, all I do is think about how that person has gotten older and how one day that person's going to be gone and these pictures are all that's going to be left of them.
Oh, my God. You're
I know.
Pretty morbid,
this is the fucking, this is the brain I exist inside of every day. It's a nightmare.
How can you be a comedian?
Well, if it wasn't for that, I'd go insane. I would literally go insane. I would have nothing to do but drown in these thoughts. Even babies. Babies make me sad for the same reason, because I wonder what kind of, you know, is he going to grow up to be in jail or is he going to get killed by a gang member when he turns 16, you know? Anyway, on that note, let's go for Sal and see if he's going to Why Not for us.
Oh, that's what you throw at me?
Well, you're clearly in need of prompting today.
Okay, my Why Not. Chris, why not?
How come?
How come why not? Television screens on the ceiling? Why must they always be on a wall? I would like to have a television screen on a ceiling so that I can lie on my back and look straight up and look at the television screen. Nick, what do you think of that? What do you think of a television screen on the ceiling? You can lie on your back, look straight up. What do you think of that?
I think everybody would want one of those. You know, they could just lay in bed and look up at the ceiling and there's a TV in the ceiling. It'd be for all the lazy people worldwide, man.
How has that not made its way into luxury hotels already?
I mean, maybe it has, but when was the last time you stayed at a luxury hotel?
I beg your pardon, Sal. I've stayed at a luxury hotel once in the last 4 years. Thank you very much.
Where was it?
I was in Quito, Ecuador. I was on a military tour, and for some inexplicable reason, they put us up in like what was probably like at least one of the city's top three nicest hotels.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very strange because that's not the custom, but at least not in the tours I've experienced. Now, we'll talk to Marianne a little later because she's done some tours as well. But yeah, the only ones that Sal and I have ever done are like the very low rent, like least desirable areas, you know, we got Afghanistan this summer. Right? I've done the Middle East like twice. Meanwhile, there's a tour of Guam and Hawaii and Diego Garcia. I don't even know how the hell you get that. You know, the islands. I mean, these places people go on vacation. The only nice place I ever went was Guantanamo Bay, and I'm sorry you missed that, Sal.
Wait, did you say the only nice place I went?
Yeah, that's the life I lead, Sal, where the nicest place I've been was a torture, a stockade torture secret prison.
Yeah, you know that place that the government wanted to shut down and the public wanted me to shut down?
I drove right by it. There was a little service road. Because what people don't know is that, Camp X-Ray, which is where all those terrible things took place, is really only one small section of the island. The rest is, it's almost like a resort. I mean, it's huge. And you know, we got to enjoy ourselves while, innocent, I presume some of them, I'm sure, were guilty. And I guess that's all that counts, were being, having their fingernails pulled out. But, anyway, moving on. So, do you have that was your why not?
That was it. Oh, it's so exciting.
Regrettably, you're listening to Registered Ear Offenders on SkidRowStudios.com, Extreme Talk XM 165. We're going to do Chris's Corner now, followed by Sal's Weekly Rant. And then I can't wait so we get to bring in our lovely, talented, and upbeat guest, Marianne Sierk. Nick, give me that music so we can get moving. This calls for a celebration. It was a proclamation I would regret making. Steve had booked a spot at one of Florida's hottest comedy clubs. I agreed to make the drive to Tampa for the show. Like most comics, Steve's first few years were spent in dingy dens shouting over drunken lowlifes. But Steve is a remarkably tenacious, smooth talker, so for the past few months he'd been securing stage time at venues he was not seasoned to play. Inexperience aside, Steve's onstage persona frequently came across as smarmy, cocky, and or abrasive. It was easy to dislike him, and crowds often did. Steve set was met in a lukewarm reception. Oh, God.
Wow.
Steve was met with a lukewarm reception. Most likely to change the subject, he announced that his birthday had just passed. I ordered cocktails, assuming the waitress would honor the long-standing custom of comping the talent's drinks. I got hit with a $20 tab before tax or tip. The night was still young, so I was not surprised when Steve announced his intention to take me somewhere. I knew him well enough to guess what he had in mind. Having spent half my budget 4 hours in, I had no desire to join him. Steve worked to convince me that the impromptu outing was for my enjoyment rather than his. We turned into an industrial labyrinth. He guided into a gravel parking lot of a nondescript single-wide trailer. We were greeted at the door by two scantily clad women, one a tall Asian, the other an alarmingly thin, possibly biracial blonde. They began dictating the terms of the exchange. We were quoted an upfront charge of $20, quote, for the room, unquote. We were also expected to tip the girls when the performance ended, though no minimum mandatory gratuity was specified. Citing a shortage of cash, Steve recused himself but insisted that I indulge. I chose the mulatto. She led me to a dingy den. I took a seat on a leather ottoman. Slim instructed me to place my tip on the table. I produced three crumpled bills. Like the Count of Monte Cristo, she must have developed acute night vision from years spent in a dark cell because she instantly recognized my $7 as $7. The minimum tip is $40, she dryly announced. I tried to rescind my solicitation of her services by explaining that I simply did not have that much money. She reflexively replied, "There are no refunds." So I made her the only offer I could honor. I would give her my $7, then charge $10 on my card. She pressed me to charge all $40. I vetoed her suggestion since my Visa was billed to my dad and a foreign $40 charge would invite scrutiny. She begrudgingly agreed to my proposal but informed me that my bid would only entitle me to a 10-minute dance. She set a timer, then launched into a cold, serpentine sway. 8 minutes later, Slim cut the music and raised the lights. She dragged me to a room where a credit card machine lay in wait of plastic prey. I handed her my Visa. While swiping my card, she announced a $20 minimum charge on plastic. The deceitful half-assed whore had intentionally withheld this crucial information from me during our dialogue. I wanted nothing more than to call it a night, but Steve was not where I had left him. Steve and his car had gone AWOL. 10 minutes passed, then 20. Steve was my ride and my lodging for the night. I did not know his home address by heart and did not have cash for a cab if I did. I had his home number, but I was not about to call it at that hour and risk giving his Jewish mother a coronary by telling her that her little boy had vanished. Fury began budding like flowers inside of me. Alas, Steve reappeared. His libido had gotten the best of him. Right after Slim and I paired off, he'd hightailed it to an ATM to fund an experience like the one he imagined I was having. Epilogue. For $75, Steve scored, but I would not say he won. He later confessed that his escort was not nearly as attractive nude, but refused to elaborate. He also reported that her vagina had, quote, a terrible odor. We got home at 3 a.m. I woke Steve's father while stumbling through the doorway in darkness. Owing to the degree of dysfunction in his parents' marriage, the sofa had been his father's nightly sanctum for the last 5 years. Steve woke me at dawn. He mumbled something about his mother having housework to do that inexplicably could not be done while I slept unobtrusively on his bedroom floor. I drove home penniless and exhausted. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
Chris.
They're getting longer, aren't they?
No.
Longer and more self-indulgent.
One may argue this entire show is self-indulgent, Chris.
I beg to differ, Sal. I beg to differ that the 1,500 downloads, a record that we had this month.
Wait, what?
Yeah, don't you check your Blueberry? Sal and I get stats every night at 1 a.m. We get an email telling us how our ratings are coming along, and they are progressing aggressively. I'll just say that. It could be our expansion to XM to Extreme Talk XM 165 that is moving us along. It could be that, or it could be the ceaseless litany of great guests that we've had on the show. We've never had a guest cancel on us, Al, and we've never had a falling out with a guest. So they've all been pleased with the experience they had on the show, and I think we go to great lengths to do them justice, and today is going to be no different. So do your weekly rant so that we can do the same for Marianne Sirk.
Let's do it. Three things go unnoticed in our culture. A fat, unattractive girl, a short, poor guy, and the word compact on a parking space. This word means absolutely nothing to anyone, especially assholes in giant SUVs. Yesterday, I narrowly exited my vehicle because the Range Rover next to me had not only ignored the compact sign, but had parked crooked. Why do people park crooked? That's what the fucking lines are for. Perhaps they should do away with the DMV's parallel parking test and replace it with a simple pull straight into a single line parking spots test. How about a nice parking ticket? A violator is fined up to $500 for parking in a handicapped space, yet there are no fines for parking a giant SUV crooked in a compact space. The time has come. These people need to learn. The spot says compact for a reason. The reason being the spot is too small for an SUV. You know how to read? Another problem. You've been waiting in a small, crowded parking lot. A person gets into their car. You get excited thinking, great, a space. But then the idiot just sits there. They know you're waiting and they just sit there making a call or whatever. Fuck them too. These same people might follow all the rules in the road, but when they get into a parking lot, all bets are off. But I'm sure I'm wrong. These assholes don't drive with courtesy, then become inconsiderate when they enter the mall parking lot. They're probably assholes all the time. These self-important dicks who think they own the world and the roads and the parking lots need to learn. Other people exist. The lines are there for a reason, and the word compact has been imprinted for a reason. At least 5 years ago, I discontinued the use of the 90s auto trend, the club, but I still keep its key on my chain. And although I've never keyed a car in my life, stranger things have happened. Park your fucking boat straight and park it where it belongs. Sal's Weekly Wrap.
I like that, Sal. Let me confess a little secret here that may be used as evidence against me in a court of law. I have two clubs. One that I use for the protection of my asset, my vehicle, and another that I've been waiting for several years to use on somebody who wrongs me. And here's what I'm thinking. If they're foolish enough to leave their door open, I'm going to put the club on their steering wheel. I'm going to lock it, and then I'm going to throw the key as far as I can, and I'm going to leave that pleasant little surprise for them.
You know what? I like that, because I thought you meant you were going to use the club as a violent device.
No, that's a crime.
But putting the club, I like that. You put the club on someone else's steering wheel.
Well, I guess that probably counts as criminal mischief.
Probably be charged with some sort of crime.
It has to be a catch-all criminal title for that kind of activity. But great corner. I see that all the time, especially in Studio City, where the compact spaces really should read subcompact. At the Coffee Bean, it's like you just want to shout it and go, what are you doing with an SUV? Like a full-size, you live in Studio City. What are you... Every time you park, two other people can't. Selfish prick. And they love to do that too. They like to park sideways or something like that. So I usually find some way to return the favor, you know. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump right into our guests. We've got lovely, talented lady. Her name is Marianne Sirik. Her performance career started way back when she was a kid. She was a model for Kodak. So right now things are up in the air, but apparently she's been offered a job as a disc jockey in upstate New York. She's also been on Comedy Central's Live at Gotham. Very talented, very funny comedian. And she's a regular recurring personality on True TV's World's Dumbest and VH1's I Love the blank, blank, blank series. Please welcome to our show, Marianne Sirik.
Wow.
Here I am. Does that work? Am I in the right place?
yeah, no, it's Flapper's Comedy Review Hour.
Just as I had requested.
So tell us, Marianne, about this, because I bumped into you about a week or so ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned in very kind of ambiguous terms about this offer to be a disc jockey. So what's going on with that? How did that come up?
Still ambiguous. I was home in Rochester, New York, and I was about to leave. I was visiting in January when it's cheaper. I don't go home for Christmas because I can't afford it. So I always go home a week after the holidays.
Is that your way of saying that you're a Gentile? Are you a Gentile?
Yes, I celebrate Christmas. Well, I give gifts to people. I don't know if it's religious. So I was home and I was about to come back. It was Thursday night, Friday. And I tweeted to the DJ in town, like, hey, bro, I've been listening to you all week or whatever. Just like a really innocuous hello, you know, because as a comedian, I'd worked the club in town, and as a comedian, you often have to go on the radio and plug your show. So I'd met the guy, you know, last time I was in town. So I tweeted him, and I get a phone call from him. And he's like, dude, I feel like this is an omen that you tweeted at me. We're looking for like a, you know, replacement DJ kind of thing. A comedian that had been there was no longer there. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm leaving tomorrow. I can't help you. And I live in LA. And he goes, is there any way you could stay for a few days and just try it out? So I changed my flight. Like my life just, I was like, am I going to move back home? You know, do this. So I changed my flight and spent 3 days in town and did the show. And it was super fun.
Now, just to be clear, this is the sitcom you're pitching, right?
Right.
Young lady goes to visit her parents, stumbles into a morning radio. Is it the morning gig?
Morning. Oh. Yeah, and you know what's weirder? I got my first tattoo that night, Thursday. So I got a tattoo, then I got a call that night about a job. It was like a really bizarre day, you know, like many changes.
Where's your tattoo?
It's on my back.
What is it?
It's a dandelion.
Are you at liberty to show it?
I don't know if I can. Maybe. Like right now.
Well, I mean, if
can
you're
I get
able,
that music
I mean,
again?
I don't want to put you out. put on the intro music again.
I'm wearing a sports bra, so I feel like it's okay.
Okay, let's see.
Can you see it?
Wait, a little. There we go. Wait, a little more.
All I see is Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Wow,
oh, there they are.
Look
I get
that.
It. The birds are ascending from the dandelion.
Yeah, oh my God, Chris. Our show has reached a new level.
I didn't even see the tattoo, so I was just looking at everything else.
So
I'm recovering.
Oh, please. It's like I always say, make a wish when people see it. And my wish is that I didn't have a Pac-Man shaped flower on my back spitting out birds. It kind of looks like Pac-Man, doesn't it? It's like a big circle spitting. But anyway. So I stayed an hour still working on it. Like I love LA so much. I love California. But the idea of being at home is really appealing in New York, even though it's like snowy and grosser. And it's basically, it's like Buffalo, Rochester.
Wait, I have to ask you this question. You say you love California.
I do.
Okay, do you love the Inland Empire?
Oh.
Oh, see? What is it about? This show has nothing against the Inland Empire. I was like, you know, Chris has talked about the Inland Empire, and now Marianne has talked about the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's fair. You asked her to talk about it.
I didn't just come on going, I got things
to say. That is so sour.
This is what I'm here to talk about. The freaking Inland Empire. I just feel like it's just filled with car lots selling cars. That's all I ever hear about. And mattress stores, right?
That's the metropolitan part of it.
Right. That's the fancy stuff.
That's where my family's from.
Okay, that makes sense. I could.
She's like, I can see that.
That's why you don't live there anymore, right? You don't live there.
No.
You live in a civilized area now.
Well,
people
partially
come from there.
Partially,
right?
White women walk their dogs in my area. That's how I judge a neighborhood. If white girls walk their dogs,
right?
That's it.
Right.
So, did you perform well? And it's kind of like, what, the tapes are under review by some higher authority at the moment?
No, it was kind of like, let's do this. Like, the DJ and I got along real well. I used to listen to him in high school. He's a cool guy. He's been on the air for 30 years. Like, he's not like a a DJ like, like that. He's just like a cool old biker dude, tattooed guy, like Vietnam vet. And we got along real well. I could totally see it being fun. I would live at home for free, save up money, be with my family, and make money. I mean, I can make, but I got jobs here, you know, waitressing and writing and being on these little shows, but it's so infrequent. Like the other night, I did a tour and I got paid in cash at a bar. And I'm sick of that. Like, I want a check. I want, you know, I don't want to meet some girl at a bar that hands me a wad of cash. Like, I want something legit. And I do jobs. I sign contracts I can't even talk about. Like, crazy things that I used to clean houses. I clean houses for Urkel. Remember?
No, wait a second. You're telling
Jaleel
me.
Jaleel White.
You would clean people's homes as a housekeeper.
Yeah.
No way.
I did.
How did that happen? I mean, you're an attractive white woman. That's not a job that attractive white woman ever even considered. Especially in LA, the most entitled fucking city in the world.
Right.
Where, I mean, I work with women who think, who walk around like they just smelled shit because they're getting paid $20 an hour to work for Wolfgang Puck and not break a sweat.
Right.
That's 90% of girls in LA. Yeah. How are you
that's
so humble?
Loving it.
Anyway, well, first of all, it's under the table, $20. It's nice. And I love cleaning. It's really weird.
What?
Like, I'm OCD and I enjoy it. And my biggest problem with cleaning houses is I went too fast and it's by the hour and they were like, slow down. It was my friend Jan Davidson. She's a comedian. And it was just like, we go to fancy houses that barely got dirty. Cause like, think about it. The people that can afford a housekeeper, they're not going to be that gross. Like, they're nice houses.
I feel like this is an omen, Marianne. If you could see my house and how badly it needs to be cleaned.
It would be fun. Like, the dirtier, the better. It's like more satisfying to just see the results. You know, you put on gloves, you could touch anything.
The only thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't let her see my bathroom dirty.
Oh yeah, but that's the most fun thing to clean besides the toilet, just because it's so like, oh, you just see brown to white, like it's so great.
Yeah, a clean toilet really like it literally sparkles like in the commercials,
and it's so great. Yeah, the cartoon bubbles come through.
Marianne, let me ask you this: if you were to clean, for Chris or I, would you? I mean, would you still do that today professionally?
I would, you know, I help my friend. When I go to my friends' houses, I'll wipe their sinks and stuff just because it bugs me to see toothpaste stains and all that. And it's so easy to do. And dishes, like my roommate's like, don't do my dishes. And I'm like, it's just, it takes me 5 seconds and it's so satisfying just to have a nice clean area.
So can we hire you and you can come and clean our places and just wear, you know, something sort of revealing?
No, but you know what's funny? Once I caught myself on all fours scrubbing the floor.
Oh my God.
And, you know, because that's how you do it. And I was like, how am I not making more money? Like, this guy's walking in eating an apple, like, as I'm, like, scrubbing.
Ooh.
And he never, like, made eye contact or anything. Like, they look at you like you're scum.
Really?
Doesn't matter what you look like. And I remember just being like, and I was wearing something low cut and I caught my own reflection in the oven thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I look good right now. Like, how come this guy isn't like hitting on me?
Uh-huh.
It's because I'm a housekeeper.
But
that's why.
What would you have done if he would have hit on you?
Talk to him because I know he made good money.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he start speaking to you in Spanish when you first showed up?
Right. Hola. Or Polish. He just assumed I was like Eastern European. Yeah.
Are you from, how long have you been out of the Ukraine?
Yeah. I like your home very much. I have to put on an accent. No, it was fun though. And nothing like too gross. There's just a lot of condoms around. That's it. That's all you see. That's gross. That's the only thing that I didn't like.
Let me ask, have you ever worked with Todd Bridges on your
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because him and Tanya Harding, they're kind of like the mainstays.
Yeah, Tanya all the time. They flew her in from Washington State to tape World's Dumbest. And she's just like you'd think. Like, she's just like some woman that might live in a trailer park. Like, she for sure is just like white trash. Like, super nice. Did I say, was that mean? And she would wear like pink camouflage or like her clothes would be like she wore Bud Light 1994 contest. Like, she doesn't care what she wears. Like t-shirts that you would just find around.
Yeah.
And she refused to get her hair and makeup done. She did it herself.
Sal, did I mention that to you one time? I performed that. I did a little tour up in Oregon and Washington. And man.
Yeah.
Most of that place looks like a Bruce Springsteen song.
Mm-hmm.
Just very socioeconomically depressed. I mean,
right.
We really are a racist country because people don't talk about that. Like, it doesn't exist. And I'm telling you, you go there and the only difference between downtown LA and the parts of Washington that I was in is that the people were white. That's the only difference. They still had a litter of kids they couldn't afford, driving beat up old cars. But yeah,
it's another world up there. Yeah. And Tanya's the queen of it. But she got flown in, and what's his name? Baldwin. what's his name? Oh, the God, brother.
The religious one, right?
No.
He's the religious nut?
But he did smell like booze when I did a sketch with him.
The religious like, one?
Steven or Daniel?
Daniel.
Right? So she's right. Steven's the dark hair.
Yeah, Steven the blonde is. This was Daniel. He smelled like booze. And then they were like, no, he's sober. He's been sober for years. I'm like, I ain't no sober. I know. He smelled.
Now, how did you wind up on Live at Gotham? And that's a great credit for comedians. How did that come about?
It's so crazy. This is weird. I was hiking in Los Angeles and I ran into on the trails, out of nowhere, my old manager's assistant, random. I was like, oh my God, Stephanie or whatever. And we're chatting and she goes, as a fourth afterthought, she goes, you know what? Gotham Comedy Club and Comedy Central are doing auditions. I didn't even know what they were talking about. Like, cause this was the first year. And I went home and I literally called Gotham Comedy Club, the secretary, and I go, hey, do you guys have auditions? Like, it was that, like, homegrown. And they go, yeah, we do. And I go, oh, wait, but I'm in LA. And she goes, oh, then you're going to want to call Justin. Gives me this guy's number. I call Justin. I go, Katie from New York told me to call. And he goes, oh, okay. No, call this guy. And I got passed through all these places.
But it probably gave you the appearance of credibility.
Totally. And I didn't even mean it. And I didn't even mean to make a trick. But like they were like, oh, this is the girl. And I found out way later they were expecting a call from a comedian LA girl. So like it was just all these odd circumstances that. So anyway, the guy goes, hey, by the way, we have an opening tonight for the audition in Brea at the Brea Improv. And I go, I could come out. And I got there and they looked at me really weird and they were like, they whispered about me and they put me up first, like before the MC. And I killed because I found out later they thought I was crashing. They had no idea who I was, never saw a photo. They have no clue why I was there, but I ended up killing. And then later they're like, can you send us a tape? Because we turned the camera. They turned the camera off for me because they were like, she's not in this. She shouldn't be here. And then I ended up booking it. It was so all from hiking.
Wait,
crazy,
and where were you hiking again?
Runyon Canyon.
Wow.
In LA.
I'm just going to set up a tent.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go.
Just hang out.
Just sit on a rock.
Just hang out in the woods.
And everybody that walks by, hey, are you industry?
Hey,
I'm talking to
any
you.
Any auditions you know about?
Hey, well, why don't we go ahead and get into Marianne's clip, and then she'll tell us a little about it, because this is not Live at Gotham. This
right.
is a whole different...
Stand up in stilettos.
Cool.
I had to buy a new mattress when we broke up, and so I was like, okay, which do I get? Do I have hope for my future and I buy a queen? Or do I just go for the cheaper full-size mattress? I ended up going for the full because they throw in frozen dinners and a cat. Pretty good deal. Couldn't pass that up. I think
okay.
That was just a quick little teaser.
That was it?
That was a...
Yeah, I didn't realize
the
it was...
The rest is my...
Marianne, I wanted more.
Okay.
I want more.
Let's play the real sound, see what comes next.
Oh, that's a sketch.
Marianne is walking into a room full of attractive young ladies.
I'm the head of the casting world, and
that was it too?
God. What? No.
What's going on here?
It's the weather, dude. The internet has gone. Shit.
Is that what it is?
I haven't been able to get online here on your Wi-Fi.
When I first got in here, that's why I was. That's part of the reason I was sweating so profusely, because I couldn't get this thing to cooperate. But so tell us about stand up in stilettos, because I've heard a few people have had that. Where does this come from?
A weird show that my manager got me. I don't even know. That's one of those stories. I was like, well, they told me to show up at 4, and the Hollywood Plaza. What's that Hollywood and Vine? Well, if you're listening, you don't know LA. This makes no sense, but it's like a shopping mall. And I showed up and put my dress on.
Oh,
and
the Gower Gulch?
Nope. Hollywood, like where those stores are, like CPK, California Pizza Kitchen. And it's like a mall. And I just went in there.
Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hollywood Highland.
Yeah, Hollywood Highland. Is that what I said?
Or
did I say Vine?
Yeah, you said Vine.
Okay. So kill me. You just walk in at 4 o'clock and I taped and then I went... I didn't even stay to the end. My manager's like, let's get out of here. Cause she had done so many of those. She had been to so many tapings. So that was like super uneventful, and nobody watched it. Not even my parents. Nobody ever.
What is this career where Marianne stumbles into opportunities that I haven't been able
to
attain?
Shopping at the mall.
After 9 years.
Chris, is it possible that she's more beautiful than you and funnier than you.
No.
One is certain and one is quite possible.
You know what's funny? It's so nice that you keep saying I'm pretty, because the DJ that I may or may not work for, the joke he kept doing was that I was super unattractive.
What?
And how did I? Yeah, I was like, all right, fine. I'm not a model, but like, what are you doing, dude? Like, he's like, well, you know, you ain't no model over there. You know, super. I'm like, granted, but look in the freaking mirror. It was really bizarre. And after a while, I was like, can we not make that a joke? Like,
who is this man? Let's get him on the show.
Can
I want you to confront him.
A recurring bit on every show. That is funny. So that we do, especially it's like an old timey kind of thing where men used to be able to judge women based almost exclusively on their looks, and never turn the camera on themselves.
Right.
And you see that a lot. And you go, hey, buddy, what are you?
Yeah.
You want to take
check you out?
It's
brother,
a different
you look like
standard.
Bobby from Sons of Anarchy.
It's a different standard for men.
Yeah, but times are changing a little bit now.
It really is.
Some women actually work, and as inconceivable as that sounds.
I know.
I don't.
Yeah, some women clean houses. No, that's my word.
Talk to us about VH1. What's been going on over there?
Oh, yeah. They rebooted Best Week Ever, and I was on it briefly, and then I guess I watched the pilot, and I wasn't in the pilot, so I was like, I guess I didn't make the cut. That's how I found out. I was, like, working with them, and then I watched the pilot, and my name wasn't on there, so I got cut. But I've been doing VH1 shows since about 2002, like right when they started that talking head thing. I was on it before they even really knew what the format was, and it was unpaid. I've done about 30 episodes, no money.
Wow, Jesus.
Yeah. Weird, that's right? Viacom. Yeah.
No, that's terrible. That's evil.
Well, they can do it. What are you going to say no? And I was new, you know, I was 2 years in, doing stand-up for 2-3 years at that point.
And that kind of exposure and the relationships you might make and how they might pay off 5 years down the road.
So, yeah, you can't play hardball at that point. So I was like, okay, I'll come. No hair, makeup.
Yeah, if a manager's assistant can get you on TV.
Right.
If you're certainly doing, you know, free work on television can get you somewhere.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you this. Have you ever Googled yourself?
Yeah, I have for sure, to see what pops up, make sure it's okay.
Because there's one question that I'm baffled by, Sal. How much does Marianne Cierk weigh?
It says that?
It's programmed in there. Like, clearly enough. I'm not very net savvy. But does that mean that enough people
have
written in inquiring that it's become part of the search engine's machinations?
Well, you know what? And that's okay. So are you at liberty to reveal today, right here, right now, how much you weigh?
Absolutely not. It fluctuates so much. I'll tell you this. Last summer, I was like so skinny because I went through a breakup. And now I'm probably the heaviest I've ever been.
And what is that?
I'll tell you. I'm about 140 and I'm 5'6".
You're 5'6", 140.
Yeah. But I mean...
That's fine with me.
And then I go down, my lowest is 125. This probably means other than boys, but my lowest is 125 and that's me looking really thin, like, uh-oh.
Do you wear high heels?
Yeah.
Like really high heels?
No.
How high do you go on the heels?
I don't know the inch number.
How old is Marianne Cierk?
That's another question. Oh, how funny.
People want to know how old you are and
how much you weigh.
Nobody gives a shit how old we are or how much we weigh.
Go to my match.com profile. Spell it all out.
You're on match.com?
So I was, yeah.
Really?
I got off it because the people I liked wouldn't email me back. And then it was just like all these old Indian dudes emailing me. That was it.
Let me ask you this. Why would a funny, beautiful girl like you have to be on match.com? Don't men approach you in this third dimension?
I love your take on me. You think I'm like... No, I'll tell you why. Because all I do is date comedians and I had to stop. Like, my friends and family were like, if you date one more, you're so cut off. Like, I had to... Everyone I date is a comedian and I have to stop, break the chain.
Well, were they successful comedians or unsuccessful? Because both of them have their lot of problems. I mean, if you're successful, you're on the road 24 hours a day. I suppose there's temptation and there's, you know...
What do you mean by successful?
Like, as in the problems that arose, arose from them being good at, good and successful at what they do versus...
Most were not as successful as what I had done. Like, and that was a problem because they'd be like, how'd you get that? Can I have that? And I'm like, can't share, you know? Like, I would love everyone to be, I always promote, but like, you can't be mad. I had one guy that would get mad if I accepted something and he didn't get it. This guy was older than me too, and he had done so much more than me, but he would be like, you shouldn't go. I remember I got accepted in a festival that Eddie Brill ran. Eddie Brill was booking Letterman at the time. And I was going to go, and he goes, you should not do that because he's never put me on Letterman. And I'm like, do you really think me not doing this thing is going to be like, well, I guess we should put him on the show. Call his agent.
Fuck it. Marianne, play hardball with me. Now I'm going to put this guy on the show that I wasn't going to put him on the show before.
Right. He's not funny at all. But so, yeah.
In other words, he was using you for his own interest. That's all it was doing.
He was mad at me. Right. He was mad at any success I had. And then the last few guys I dated were not at all jealous or anything. They had their own things going. And all of them I'm still super, super good friends with now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're in your early 30s, right?
Mid to late. I'm 36, I can
mid
tell
to late. Well, which is
36.
It?
36. That's late, I guess.
And it stopped me if I go too far. You dated Charlie Varicola, right?
Oh, yeah, that was the guy I was talking about.
A senior citizen. Quite literally.
He was magic. He bamboozled me. I love him. He's a good friend, but like for sure, I don't know what we were thinking. I was in some phase where I was like, what the? Hope he's not listening.
Well, what was the sex like with Charlie Varicola?
I don't remember. I feel like we barely ever, I don't remember. Is that weird?
I wanted to make a joke about him having to take, you know, meds.
You guys, don't be mean. He's a nice guy.
No. I like
taking meds.
No, I don't think he ever had to do that. But like, we argued so much. That was our sex. Like, we very rarely didn't fight. Like, we were just in constant conflict.
I'm picturing them, Sal, like they're sitting on the couch exhausted from a fight. Like, oh, that was the best one yet.
I remember that more than anything else.
Was it good for you? Right.
That was the best we've ever done.
You're the best arguer I've ever been with.
I mean, I remember having an 8-hour argument once because we were in a car and we just kept going on and on. I don't remember what it was about.
But that means that there was passion, which means that the makeup sex must have been extraordinary.
Nope. Never had
no extraordinary
that.
Makeup sex?
No. Okay. Very few. I don't mean to talk shit about it. Can we swear?
Can you swear? You can say whatever you want.
We have a listener in Argentina, but I assure you that he won't report to Charlie.
The guy in Pakistan will not.
He's a great guy. Really fun. I just should have never dated him. And he knows that. We're friends still. He lives in Raleigh now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He moved.
Is that why he's not at Scott's show every week?
That's right. But he still writes for Carrot Top. He's Carrot Top's main, he invents all the inventions that Carrot Top uses.
I didn't know that.
Makes them.
All the times that I talk to him, you think somebody would...
He doesn't like, I mean, it's common knowledge, but like he won't talk about it. He's embarrassed of it.
Let me say this out. I have seen Carrot Top like live in concert.
I can't wait to see what you say.
He is a spectacular performer.
Thank you, right?
I get why some comics, 80% of it is jealousy right off the bat. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's tremendously successful. Mm-hmm. But this guy goes on stage with no opener and performs for an hour and a half of 100% energy.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's just some clown who got by on props is bullshit. Like, you and I couldn't do the same thing that he does even with the same props. He is a seasoned performer, full of energy.
He's
loves
funny.
What he does. And he does do a little bit of material in there. It's not my cup of tea, but it's a big time hate thing for young fucking young talentless angry young males.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, what do you call that? Like, it's just what you do, you're supposed to.
And I challenge anybody to just go to a show and say that they didn't have a good time. He always changes his act. It's always topical, and that's why Charlie has a job. Because he gets 10 new props a month from him. And what Charlie does, Charlie used to say, if you can do it, I'll pay. If you can think of a prop, I will pay you that money, because he would welcome it. And I could never think, it's very difficult to do visual jokes that aren't puns, you know. It's really, he's gifted at what he does. Whether or not you like it or not, I don't know. But he is a funny guy. It's a combination of being a funny guy, and the inventions and the props are very, very clever.
Do you think he uses steroids?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, absolutely.
I shouldn't have said that so confidently. Allegedly, I'm sure he did. But he doesn't anymore. He's super clean now.
Do you
use steroids, or have you ever used steroids?
Can't you tell? Look at me, bro.
Well, you did a whole blog on your arms. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. How gross and fat. Yeah, I've got Polish body where I'm just like hardy. I could work in the fields, no problem. Not that Polish people worked in fields, but that's what I assumed. Wait a minute, I'm confusing everything. Yeah, I've got a big athletic body.
No, that's funny. If you have a chance, go ahead and give us the address for your
website. It's themariannecirque.com. So it's the and then MARIANNE, S-I-E-R-K.
And you can read all kinds of funny little blogs like Marianne's battle with her arms, the trials and tribulations of her and her arms. Sal, we are running a little bit behind, but I think if we move quickly, we can do a little Inhuman Resources. I think
that'd be
fun for
Marianne. I definitely would like to have Marianne chime in. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, here's mine. When I was about 22 years old, I worked for a newspaper. Worst job I ever had. My whole job was to field phone calls from angry consumers. If they didn't get their paper, they got their paper late. So I had a supervisor. It was this heavy-set, middle-aged Latin woman. Not terribly attractive at all. But, I was fun. I'm gregarious. I'm a funny person. I make jokes. And one day she came around. She would give us lunch breaks. And she said, hey, when do you want to go to lunch? And I said, whenever you're ready to go. And she laughed. And she said, are you buying? I said, yeah, sure. So that was it. That was the whole exchange. A few hours later, imagine my surprise when I get called into the office and get a little sexual harassment talking to me.
Shut up.
Yeah. And clearly what had happened was she had some kind of started to think that maybe, well, what if he was serious? Like, it was clearly at the moment she thought it was a joke, but later on she started to have some reservations. Because what happened is after they spoke to me about it in the office, I said, did she at all mention that we went back and forth? It wasn't just me. Like, it was us joking around back and forth. And you could see on the guy's face, he was like, no, he didn't want to answer the question, but clearly she had failed to, report her contributions to it. And I said, I'll tell you what, I won't say a word to her, and you tell her to never say a word to me again. Mm. They said, well, that's exactly what we don't want. I said, that's not a problem. She created this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it bothered me that she left out, the fact that she kind of played along, and it was completely harmless. It was in front of several people. I didn't corner her in anything that could even be misconstrued by any reasonable person as sexual harassment. So long story short, afterwards, that same day, she comes over to my desk and she starts showing me pictures of her kids. This is my husband. And she tried to make it look like she just had this spontaneous desire to share her family with me, And I go, that's great. I'm glad you have a family. I got to get back to work. Yeah. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Screw you. Wow.
In Human Resources, your turn, Sal.
Okay.
The build-up.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought there was some intro music.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and work? Because we're short on time. So.
Well, Chris, I used to work at the gym, as some of you may know. And at this gym, everybody had duties, cleaning, selling memberships, working people out. And part of that was cleaning up the locker rooms. And there was this guy that used to take showers. And everybody saw, and he would be in the corner of the shower masturbating.
Ew.
And people knew this was going on.
Mm.
Nobody knew what to do. I suppose no one had called the authorities because maybe they didn't think they had enough evidence. He would just deny it.
They should have snaked the drain for evidence.
Oh.
So I saw him a couple of times. Another time I walked by, I saw two guys in there. He was one of them. He was masturbating. The other guy was masturbating.
No.
And that was it.
So there's no grand finale to the story? There was no resolution?
Well, there was a grand finale, all right.
The grand finale was I stopped working there after a while.
All right, next time, Sal, just say pass. Marianne, you have anything to contribute?
Yeah, I used to work at Macaroni Grill, and they had red towels. Everybody, a waitress, had to be red towel. And then the leaders of us were the green towels. And every week, my roommates would hear me complain about the green towels. And then one week, they came home and there were green towels on the table because I got promoted. And what that meant was I had to lead staff meetings. And I just thought this was funny that corporate made me take an Oreo cookie to a meeting and hold it up and tell everybody, hey, guys, we have to practice the stab, fluff, stab method. And the cookie was meant to be a visual reminder. The black part of the cookie was the stab, like, hey, you're not putting enough sugars in your caddies. And then fluff, but you make great eye contact with the customers. And then stab again. And you need to stop stealing or whatever. Like, that was their way of training. We had to say this to the customers with using an Oreo cookie. And I thought that was the funniest corporate BS ever.
I had so much trouble following the logic there.
Stab, fluff, stab was how they wanted us to criticize our fellow employees and then have a cookie to show them the remember it.
It's the most bizarre.
It sounds like a cult.
I feel like that story deprived me of oxygen. I had so much trouble. I will tell you this.
Corporate.
We're running super short on time here. And thanks so much, guys, for joining us this week and every week. And SkidRowStudios.com. and Extreme Talk XM 165. I used to work in a restaurant in Orlando, Florida. Every summer it would rain like crazy. It was super hot. The restaurant was made of wood, and roaches would come out of the woodwork. I mean, like lots of roaches, like once or twice a day, we would have people complaining about it. They called the meeting after a couple weeks, and I finally thought they were going to address the issue and say, you know, we're going to close down, we're going to fumigate. No, they go like this. They go, next time a customer tells you that they've seen a cockroach, you tell them they're not roaches, they're palmetto bugs.
Oh, God.
And I go, okay, I raised my hand. I go, what if they're not an entomologist and they don't know the goddamn difference? Because a palmetto bug is a roach that flies, and it's even bigger than your average roach. Gross. So it's even grosser. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, guys. Join us again next week. Same station, skidrowstudios.com, Extreme Talk, XM165. Thank you so much to Marianne for joining us.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Chacon, thanks for stopping by.